Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Stompy, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm glad this time you didn't even bother saying your real name, because Stompy is your real name.
I've learned.
Nice. All right, so as you've noticed, we have a guest. We have Sir Stompy back. Quickly, before we really get started into anything, remind these people where they could find you on the interwebs.
Yeah, so you can find me at FF Stompy. I am currently writing for the fantasy football franchise at F3 Pod, the IDP guys at IDP guys, and the fantasy authority at FF underscore authority. And then I just joined sportsabermetrics.net, which is a in development, I suppose, analytics website, metrics website that we're trying to build. And we have an offer for all of your guys' listeners today. So if you go to sportsabermetrics.net and then go to the premium tools and then type in capital T trade, capital A addicts in the coupon code area, you will get 15% off. So that's capital T trade, capital A addicts, all one word, and then 50% off for the premium apps there. So that's pretty cool. But the Start Sit app's pretty nice. It's got a really cool visual. It helps see who has the best matchups without having to dive too deep. You can look at like who's starting the, who are, I guess, which player is starting the most in leagues, which player is being picked up the most, and stuff like that. And then we're also developing things like weather. We're starting to put our historical data in there as well. So yeah, just check that out and let us know if we can add anything.
Rocket. Brian, we have a coupon code.
Yeah, man. That's pretty good stuff.
We've hit the big time.
Hey-o.
All right. Awesome, man. Well, I missed saying, hey, everybody, welcome to session 28 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. Today, we are going to do our, what week just happened? Week five? We're going to do some week five buys, keeps, and trades. We're going to make some amends. Actually, I keep saying we. The answer is really, it's really just going to be Brian and Stompy because I did not watch much football this week. Going to games is awesome. I went to the Jets-Broncos game. Sorry, Stompy.
He's shaking his head. God.
To be fair, that was not a pretty game in general.
It was not.
And again, it's awesome going to games. Of course, I got to tailgate while being on a diet, which I tweeted out is the definition of sadness. I got to watch people eat wings and brisket and burgers while eating my turkey dogs and cauliflower. So, yeah, it was all salted by my tears. So again, it was awesome to get the game. It was fun. Cortland Sutton is a beast, by the way. But I completely disconnected from everything else that happened for the rest of the day. I got home like 6 o'clock, fell asleep at 9 o'clock. I literally watched zero football, and then I don't even remember what the hell happened, but I did not even get to watch the game yesterday. Is today Tuesday? Yesterday was Monday. Right. Didn't even watch that game. So I've watched no football, yet I'm sitting here rambling about not watching football for the past 3 minutes. So news. Jay Ajayi tore his ACL. So now there's only three running backs in a committee in Philadelphia. You guys, what do you make of any of this, and is there anything actionable in the Philadelphia backfield now? Stompy first.
Don't forget about Josh Adams, so there's still four.
No, I actually forgot about Sproles.
Oh, there you go. So there's still four. I mean, it seems like it's kind of Wendell Smallwood's job right now. He's actually looked serviceable over the last couple weeks. Unfortunately, that kind of hinders my prediction that Jay Ajayi would finish top 12 this year. But we're here in rumors with three major running backs that I know of, LeSean McCoy, David Johnson, and well, obviously the one that everybody hopes goes across the state in Le'Veon Bell.
Take him.
Do it.
Can you imagine him being behind that O-line?
In that offense in general. All right. So now hold on. Before we jump in, let's pretend one of these things will happen. Which do you think is the most likely and which you think will be the most fun?
I think the most fun would be David Johnson. Because we know what he is. I think he's the best running back in the league if he's given the opportunity. And if he gets that offensive line, he gets a good quarterback. He gets a good offensive mind in Doug Peterson. Sky's the limit for me with David Johnson. What I think is realistic is McCoy going there.
Brian?
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I think definitely the most realistic thing is for Shady to go back to Philly. I'm not super excited about that, to be honest, personally, but I do think that's definitely the most likely thing to happen. And I agree with Stompy. I think DJ in Philly would be unreal. Might hurt some Carson Wentz shares. Might not, too. Might open the offense up because teams will have to, actually
care about
the run. Stopping the run. But I think DJ in that backfield would be fire. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. It's definitely an interesting situation. I kind of agree with what Stompy said, too. I mean, Smallwood, I think he's going to end up being the guy. Unfortunately for me, I've been a big Corey Clement guy. He's a little banged up and Smallwood's looked, pretty decent when he's been in there lately. So I think he'll probably get the first chance at the bulk of the carries. He already, even on Sunday, split almost 50-50 with Jay Ajayi. So, and that was before the injury. So I think he's probably the guy that's going to get the work unless they bring someone else in from outside.
Yeah, and Peterson has often said he wants it to be a committee anyway. So even if McCoy comes back, if you get David Johnson or Lev Bell and you still run a committee, you deserve to be fired. I don't care how many Super Bowls you win in dynamic fashion. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not excited about any of that.
Hold on.
I didn't write it down, but I forgot to. Jamaal Charles is in the NFL again. Jamaal Charles signs with the Jacksonville Jaguars because the Jaguars are upset all of their running backs got hurt. So you sign Jamaal Charles right now. All I know is it's a terrible NFL decision, but I want to buy that football jersey. So I guess it's the right move for the Jaguars. No, yeah, you're like, oh man, Brian like rested his head in his hand. He just does not care at all about anything I just said.
Charles.
He was so good. There was someone tweeted out there he could run 115 runs for 0 yards and still career average 5 yards per carry.
Oh, wow. He was so good for so long. And now he looks so bad last year with Denver. He needs to just hang it up.
Well, it's not like TJ Yeldon hasn't. I mean, did he get banged up too or?
No, but Corey Grant is on
right.
The
Corey Grant, right? He has a.
So all they have is Yeldon. Do they have anyone else on that team? I don't think so.
I don't really think so either. No.
Yeah. So I mean, they had to bring in someone, but that was a really weird choice.
Right. I mean, you had guys like Darkwell out there and stuff. So it's just.
Yeah, he was such a hot item. Like, this is going to be the free agent guy to go somewhere and maybe become something. Even though I don't think he ever did anything great in New York. But yeah, he never got anywhere. All right. Well, that ended on a boring note. Okay. So let's jump into your amends to make. Stompy, you're our guest. You let us know where you screwed up first.
Well, speaking of David Johnson, I was pretty wrong about David Johnson. I think the last time I was on here, I stated that he would be the RB1 in fantasy football. That obviously didn't come to fruition, at least in through the first 5 weeks. He looked better last week, but I guess I underestimated the impact of a poor offensive line and a worse quarterback and
a worse coordinator.
Oh my God. And a defensive head coach. I don't think a lot of us understood how much influence, who was the former head coach? Sorry.
Arians.
Yeah. Bruce Arians had on that offense, because I don't know what McCoy's doing. He has the blueprint for success for the Cardinals, and it's give it the ball to David Johnson, give the ball to Larry Fitzgerald. And what does he do? He does not do that. So, and I think a lot of us thought Bradford would be better than he was.
Yep.
Okay, well, a lot of us, not outhouse, but it's bad. And yeah. I mean, luckily, I think he's going to look better with Rosen, but I still don't think he's going to be that top five running back this year.
Yeah, no, I think he has a chance of being top 12, to be fair. And that's not terrible. He's put up double digits practically every week, if not every week. And I think he put up 20 this past. The thing is, the scoring for this year is literally historic. It's the most scoring through the first 5 weeks in the NFL history. So putting up 20 points used to give you top five numbers, and now it just doesn't anymore. But it's still nothing to scoff at.
No. So I, what's funny is I sold a lot of my DJ shares after week three, and then I've actually quietly bought a couple back. So not in the same leagues, but different leagues.
Yeah.
But I should have seen it, being a Broncos fan, when Mike McCoy was fired halfway through the season last season, that he's not a good coordinator in today's NFL.
Yeah. That is your bad. So there you go. There's multiple your bads. All right. Now everyone, take a second, calm, breathe, center yourself, because Brian is about to eat some crow, to put it in nice words. Go ahead, Brian. Let's find out what you're making amends for.
I am
making... Wait, hold on. I'm not ready yet. Hold on. All right. Go.
All right.
No, wait, hold on. I'm still not ready. All right. No. Okay. For real this time.
So I have to, after 5 weeks, almost a third of the way through the season here, I have to make amends on Davante Adams. Anybody who's listened to the show more than once has heard me rant and rave about Davante Adams and how overrated he is, and how, yeah, he's going to be the default number one in Green Bay, but you know, he's a guy that's never put up 1,000 yards receiving, only 75 catches as his most number of receptions in a season. So I've been all over that train, and I've been consistent with it. But I got to tell you, he's looked really good so far this year. So it's a long season, but if things continue, the way that they've gone the first 5 weeks, Adams is going to be, he's going to be one of the top receivers in the league. So, he's had seven or more catches in four or five games. He's had a touchdown in all but one game. I mean, obviously last week here against Detroit was his biggest week, 9 catches, 140 yards and a touchdown. But there were some routes. I actually got a chance to watch a good bit of that game, and there were some routes that he ran where, I mean, he's making guys look silly. And the numbers he's putting up against really good corners. Josh Norman and Xavier Rhodes and, so he's putting these numbers up against top level corners. Not scrubs, and he's making them look bad. He really is. His route running's outstanding. Obviously Aaron Rodgers helps. Mm-hmm. But Adams has taken the step that I didn't think he would, at least so far in this season, and he's developed into a top-tier wide receiver. So I am here today to say and admit that I was wrong about Davante Adams, at least at this point in the season, and I hope he continues because he's been real fun to watch. So, and Green Bay needs him. So, right.
And I'm going to get Jake Anderson on hold for a nice Davante Adams avatar for your Twitter account at the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't remember what exactly the bet was, but
1150 yards.
It was 1150, and right now he's on pace, I think, for something like 1380, 118 catches, 1380, and like 13 touchdowns.
That's even more than I was jokingly, projecting. 118 catches.
So I mean, even if he falls off, even if he falls off a bit, he's still, he's still gonna produce at an elite, pretty elite level. So, it's not looking that particular bet is not looking good for me right now. So, but yeah, he's looked very good this year so far. So,
all right, we had two big amends on two big named players in the fantasy world. All right, so let's jump into our keep trades buys for the week. And since we are conscientious hosts, we'll let our guest go first. This is Stompy.
This is the main event.
You guys need to get some drops in here.
That is our drop.
I've already yelled at Russ about getting a better intro.
I completely forget to ask my wife to redo the thing. So, yeah, about that. My bad.
So for this week, and it's mainly because he threw up a dud and Sanu outdid him, but you got to keep Calvin Ridley. The dude, and you can continue to look at his snap percentages, but he went on a tear there for 3 weeks where he had, what did he have, 5 touchdowns in 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
But and I'm kind of a Matt Waldman disciple. I'm not much of a film guy, more of an analytics guy. So I have to kind of trust the eyes of the film people. And Matt Waldman compared him to Roddy White.
I mean, I guess that works perfectly.
Right. And obviously did it after the Falcons took him. But I think it's perfect because when Julio came out and it was Julio and Roddy was the technician. He was the route mm-hmm. runner, and he was the guy that was kind of the timing receiver for Matt Ryan. Whereas Julio still is the physical freak of a wide receiver that can basically beat any cornerback. So Matt Ryan needs that guy. And you saw it for those 3 weeks from weeks 2 through 4. And just because we see, And people are going to point to touchdown regression, and they're going to point to his snap shares, and that's fine. But Calvin Ridley is a special talent. He's a first-round talent. He was arguably the best route runner in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take this one dud game as it's that standard regression. He's going to be a special player. Yes, he was going to regress. He couldn't keep up a 6 or 5 touchdown pace over 3 games, but he's still going to be a special player, and he's going to continue to get looks every week.
We're in the middle of 2 touchdowns, 8 catches, 150 yards for 2 touchdowns, and whatever he did this week. Do you think he is, at least for now, for this year, like, do you think he finishes the season wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 2, or do you think he keeps going and goes wide receiver 1?
I predicted at the beginning of the season when I wrote my bold takes for the F3 pod that he would be a top 24 wide receiver.
Nice.
So, I mean, I think it's really in the realm of possibilities that he gets 900 yards and 8 touchdowns. I think that's very real. I mean, and that's the touchdowns, especially. He only needs, I think, 2 more to get there. But I mean, he's getting enough looks. He's getting open enough that I think Matt Ryan's got to start looking to him more as well. So I think 908 is a very real possibility, and he finishes as a top 24 wide receiver this season.
Yeah, it helps that he plays in the South too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of shoot, a lot of shootout games.
It helps that half of Atlanta's defense is on the IR.
Right. Yeah,
that too. That too. Yep. Yep. No, I like that. I like that a lot, Stompy. That's a good one. We talked a little bit about Ridley a couple weeks ago, I think, and you know, but I think this is, you're exactly right. This is not the time to panic over one game here. He's been pretty solid in his rookie season, and you know, situation wise, things look up, you know, are looking up pretty well for him. So I agree with this one for sure.
Does it not worry you about him getting outsnapped by Sanu, or you think it's just a matter of time?
I think it's a matter of time. I do. I think Ridley, I think he's, you know, I think he's going to be the number two there moving forward. Sanu had a heck of a game against Pittsburgh. But, you know, I'm not tremendously worried about it. I also think that offense can support three wide receivers in terms of being productive, not necessarily wide receiver twos, but you know, I think they can support three guys. I think Ridley's going to be the guy there though, moving forward opposite Julio.
Even against the Steelers, he had five targets. He only had 38 yards, but he had five targets. So it's not like he's not getting the targets or he wasn't getting the looks. It's just that Sanu took that one huge one to the house, and that's basically the difference.
All right, cool. Okay, so Calvin Ridley was a good call for a keep. The opposite of good is bad. So let's get to this bad call at your trade away.
So I did it to pick a fight.
Well done, sir.
So my trade is Eric Ebron. So he just, I mean, this might have been the best game of his career against the Patriots.
I mean, so far, it absolutely has.
I'd have to look back, but since Jack Doyle's been out, he's had 11, 10, and 15 targets. He's produced that one against Philadelphia. He only had five receptions for 11 targets. He looked like vintage Eric Ebron, Detroit Lions Eric Ebron, where he was dropping stuff in the end zone. He just looked terrible. And then the past 2 weeks, he's had three touchdowns and 145 yards. I don't necessarily know when Jack Doyle's going to be back, but I mean, Jack Doyle's been one of Luck's favorite outlet pass catchers. His first game before his injury. Sorry, I have to look back. He had 10 targets for 60 yards. And Ebron only had four and five targets in the two games that he played with Jack Doyle in the lineup. So I think you have to sell high on him because I don't think he's going to be able to keep up the double-digit targets for very long. He might be able to in the next couple weeks just because guys like T.Y. Hilton are still out and maybe still out, and Doyle may be out for another week or two. But at some point, that target share is going to drop. So I did do this to pick a fight, but I do believe that you got to sell high on Ebron for me.
All right. Well, let's put it out there. It is clearly well documented that I am an Eric Ebron believer, but especially if you're in a league that is not tight end premium, you sell a tight end after he scores 35 points.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
All right. Okay. So you have Eric Ebron on your team and he is your starting tight end. What would it take for an offer to you for you to sell Eric Ebron right now?
I mean, I would, and this will speak to one of your buys, but I would look at like Njoku.
You know, I mean, he's already, I can't imagine anyone has Ebron ranked higher than Njoku.
So. You never know. I mean, we've seen some very panic moves. I definitely saw some Kamara sells after last night.
I almost talked about that. Like, I almost put that on the sheet. But I'm like, I can't even get talking about that because right. That is whatever you've done for me 3 seconds ago, Twitter.
Maybe Trey Burton plus with how disappointing Trey Burton is.
You are looking to get anybody else besides Ebron is what it comes down to. You're looking to just get the hell off.
I don't know if I think it's just, you got to do it for the right price. I'm not saying, oh, I'm going to just get off, but Trey Burton has not been playing great. He finally had a decent game in week four before the bye. Maybe they're starting to open up the offense. And if you can get somebody like Burton plus for Ebron, I'd say you have to take it.
Yeah, I could see that. Let's put it simplistically. Are you future picks? Anything less than a first?
God, it's so hard for with tight ends to, especially in this like day and age where it's like tight ends, it's a crapshoot. I'd almost have to keep him if for anything less than a first.
All right, cool. Are you going to say something, Brian?
I was just going to say, I wouldn't, in tight end premium in the Trade Addicts leagues, I wouldn't move him for anything less than that for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Tight end premium.
One, yeah. You know, a 1 point PPR league, more of a standard PPR. I might move him for an early second or 2 seconds, depending on, you know, or regardless of where they are. But yeah, in tight end premium, I'm not moving him for anything less than a first right now. He's tight end 3 on the season. So
Eric Ebron season.
And you got to say it, spell it S-Z-N, because that's my one of my biggest pet peeves on fantasy football.
Hashtag Team Bron. Ugh. All right. So that's a tight end that you are looking to trade away. Go into this tight end that you're looking to buy.
Sure. And I think a lot of people are on him just because of Jameis Winston's return, but Cameron Brate. And I have the RotoViz Game Splits app pulled up here. Mm-hmm. And Cameron Brate with Jameis Winston has 6 more PPR points per game. He has almost, well, he's got, it's hard to say touchdowns, but he's got 2 receptions more per game. He's got 2 more targets per game, and he has over 20 more yards, reception yards per game. And so we've seen it last year. We saw it last year when Howard was still on the team, but I think Brate was a top 10 tight end.
Top 5. He was tight end 4. I think he was tight end 4 through like 8 weeks.
So we know what, or we know that Brate is one of Winston's favorite targets. And while I think that Howard is the future there, and Brate's contract's so wonky that it's like a lot of his guaranteed money's up after this, and I don't think they eat a lot of dead cap next year or even after that, even though it's a 6-year deal. Howard's the future, but I think Brate for this year is a good pickup and could be a top 12 tight end the rest of the season, especially in this land, like I said, this landscape of tight end where after, and even in the top end, we don't even know Ebron's a top 3 tight end right now. And nobody would have guessed that. So, and Jared Cook before last week was the top tight end. Okay. You can say you would, but I mean, regardless, the point is that you would think that Gronk, Kelce, and I think Kelce's now back up top maybe, but Gronk, Kelce, and Ertz would be those top 3, but
yeah,
it's just so shuffled around and it's hard to predict tight ends at this point in time. So
yeah, can you see yourself paying a second for Cameron Brate knowing that he is not the future in Tampa?
No.
All right, because yeah, in a tight end premium league, I sent out a third, and then I revoked because that's, no one's going to accept that. So I sent a second out, and it's been hanging for like 3 or 4 days, and it's not a Trade Addicts league, so I can't give anyone crap about it. Well, at least they don't listen to this, so I'll give you crap, and you won't even know about it. And I don't feel great about it, is really what I was getting at, but I'm trying to make that push and I have OJ Howard. So to me, that's my rationalization that in case something happens to OJ again, I have Brait as my backup.
Well, and that's the other thing I forgot is that Howard is supposed to be out 2 to 4 weeks with an MCL strain. So he may not even be back.
Well, he shouldn't be back this coming week, but everyone said it was the same issue that Engram had, and he's practicing in full, I believe.
Yeah.
So hopefully OJ comes back.
So yeah, I would think Brait's more of a win now buy, just because he can be that top 12 tight end that I think a lot of people are searching for right now.
All right. Cool. Awesome. Let's move on to your last buy guy.
Yeah. So it's Christian Kirk. And I think a lot of people are on him, with Josh Rosen.
Brian's doing hard hands.
So, I mean, he has two of the three games that Rosen has played, and mind you, he didn't start the first game, but I don't know what the splits were between the, but I mean, over the last two of the last three games, he's got 85 or more yards. He's got he had a long touchdown last week. He's got four plus targets in the last four games. And we all know about his and Rosen's chemistry. They played in some all-star games together in high school. They seem to have some chemistry in the offseason. So it looks like they're trying to get him the ball more. And this is one of those, do you really trust Mike McCoy?
Which I think we've talked about that we don't.
Right. And Larry Fitzgerald is showing his age, we'll call it. He's not recovering well from his hamstring. So Kirk could become the top wide receiver there this year.
All right. So towards the end of the offseason, his name is written on the show sheet and I still blanked on it. Right before the season started at the late rookie drafts, Christian Kirk was pretty much going at the end of the first round, even in some super flex leagues, which means you can't send a 19 first for him. So what are we saying? Do you think first and second, first, and what kind of player do you think you need to add on top to get Christian Kirk?
First and Rojo. Is Rojo falling that far?
So first and trash, I got it. All right.
But I mean, I think it's got to be a minor piece. But I mean, I think the argument has to be, and I've been having this discussion about David Johnson with another owner, is that you can't trust this offense. Christian, and that was such a long touchdown. He had a 75 yard touchdown. So 75 of his 85 yards came on that one touchdown. So it's not like he's getting an ultra or extreme amount of targets, but I guess it's just one of those things where you have to kind of argue your way into it. I would be able to give a first, and I would probably be willing to give a second to get Christian Kirk for the future.
I was about to say, how much of a future move is this? Do you think before the end of the season, he becomes wide receiver, bottom wide receiver two, top wide receiver three-ish? Do you think this is pure future?
I think the answer is yes. Because I think all of us thought that Christian Kirk would be a wide receiver two-ish for the future. And if he can get there now, and even if he's a wide receiver three for the rest of the season, I think that's a good pickup for your team where he could serve in a flex role, especially in bye weeks.
Yeah, especially because, again, wide receiver threes have their place on your team. Mm-hmm. I know if you play, even in 10-team leagues, maybe not, but 12 and up, wide receiver threes are super valuable, especially once bye weeks start coming in. Mm-hmm. So don't scoff at a wide receiver 32 because he'll still score you some points, especially when, you know, there's six passing touchdowns per game every week now. So, you know, don't scoff. Go get. All right. Those were good players, except for when you talked bad about my boy Eric Ebron. So Brian, why don't you go and actually talk about your guys?
Yeah. So, I'll start with my keep, and my keep is Kenny Golladay, Detroit Lions wide receiver, Baby Tron, as he's known.
I call him Sweet Smooth Kenny G.
That works too.
takes a little bit to get that off the tongue, though.
He's been really good, guys.
Yeah, that dude's the future.
Yeah, I mean, he's been really good. He's had over 9 targets in 3 of 5 games. As the wide receiver 3, essentially in that offense.
Oh man, I'm going to cut you off. Maybe I should be making amends for Marvin Jones and how into him I was. Because man, I just said Kenny Galladay is the guy there now.
Yeah,
Marvin Jones is absolutely the wide receiver 3 on that team. All right, sorry, I interrupted. You go.
No, that's okay. So 6 or more receptions in 3 of 5 games, a touchdown in 3 of 5 games. So, really, really, really producing right now. And to me, I don't know. I like the Lions. I always have liked the Lions. They've been a team that if they're on TV, I'm usually watching that game, at least half watching it. If the Steelers are on, obviously I'm watching that too. But Detroit's kind of a team that I follow a little bit, and it looks to me like Matthew Stafford has as much confidence in Kenny Galladay as he does in any of the other wide receivers on that football team, including Golden Tate, who is still producing at a pretty high level as well. But Galladay has looked just really good, really smooth. He's big, he's fast, he's physical. He makes really difficult catches. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but last season there was a catch where he laid out at the goal line, and I'm talking the dude was parallel to the turf. And he made the catch, and you know, he makes it look easy. I just think moving forward, he's a guy that's going to continue to get targeted in this offense because he's a difference maker. So, you know, when they need a big play, they're going to go to this guy. He's a red zone threat, obviously. I mean, again, 3 touchdowns in 5 weeks. You know, so I'm keep if I have this guy, I'm hanging on to him. Most people that had him have hung on to him, hoping he would turn into what he's doing this year, and finally he has, and you know, that's definitely paying off for those folks. So Galladay is my keep. And then moving into my trade is Matt Ryan of the Falcons. Matt Ryan is currently the QB3, which is insane to me. So I'm just, you know, he's 33 years old. He's looked very good this year, but I don't know. He's been under 300 yards in 3 of 5 games. You know, his stats are boosted by the game against New Orleans too. He threw for 374 yards and 5 touchdowns that game. So if there's somebody out there that's going to pay you for Matt Ryan, you know, pay you top 5 quarterback prices for Matt Ryan, especially in a super flex league, I would be selling all day at that price. So that's why Matt Ryan's my sell or trade. Sorry.
So wait, hold on. So you don't believe that Steve Sarkisian's system just took a year to come around?
I do not.
Now this is the prolific offense he's been planning this whole time.
No.
I think we had already talked about it with Calvin Ridley, but the counterpoint to that is that defense is bad. They've lost their best defensive player in Deion Jones. They've lost their 2 starting safeties. They can't. I mean, they have to throw to keep in the game. So that's the counter argument, is that regardless of how well Matt Ryan's playing, he will likely have to throw the ball a lot.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that. Here's the thing that I'd say about Ryan. If you're competing for a championship and Matt Ryan is a quarterback that's useful to you, then it's a discussion, right? If this is a dynasty league though, and you're not in that top echelon of teams in your league, that's what I'm saying. Is if we're talking dynasty and Matt Ryan is currently the quarterback 3 in a season where he could be that guy, Sam, just like you said, you know, he's likely to probably continue to perform at a pretty high level this year, or at least have the opportunity to, because they're going to be behind in a lot of games and in a lot of games that are shootouts. So he's going to be super valuable to a team that is competing. If you're not that team, trade him, because you're going to get top five quarter. You can potentially get top five quarterback pricing right now. So that's kind of where I'm coming from in regards to that. But you make a great point. If you're a person that's competing and you're going to be in the semis, maybe in the final, if you know things break right, then by all means, hang on to the guy this season. I just think he's a good candidate, if you're not in that position, to move on from as a 33-year-old quarterback who is in an offense that I particularly don't care for in general at this point. So, and then my buys, and there were a ton that came to mind this week, and I won't go deep into all of them. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's coming off two subpar games for what he had done the first 3 weeks of the season. Antonio Brown has kind of stepped up over the last 2 weeks and seems to be, I mean, Ben is forcing the ball to him. Absolutely. Obviously I watched the Steeler games and he's forcing it right now to AB. So Juju still had the touchdown this past week, which kind of saved his week. But if you can get Juju at any type of discount, buy him. Will Fuller is another guy that I'm potentially looking to buy at the right price. There's a lot of talk about Kiki Kuti right now. Mm-hmm. And he has looked good, and he's been targeted 22 times over the last two games. So that's saying something, right? But Fuller is a guy that's been banged up a little bit, and that has hindered him. If he can get healthy, I mean, the connection that he has had with Deshaun Watson – and I really want a tangent here to Deshaun Watson. And I might in just a minute, but yeah. So Fuller is a guy that has performed every single week he's been on the field almost with Watson. I mean, he's looked really good, and he hasn't had a good couple of weeks here because he's been banged up. I think he missed the game too. So, it's one of those things where it's just an opportunity to buy low. I don't think Kiki is going to be the wide receiver two in Houston. I don't think he's going to take Fuller's job. He's a different type of player. You know, Fuller's that stretch the field guy. He's going deep, right? So, and Watson throws an unbelievable deep ball. So I think this is an opportunity to get a playmaker in a high-powered offense with an unbelievable quarterback. And so that kicks me into Deshaun Watson. Guys, Deshaun Watson's really good. He's really good. If you were wondering, you know, after the seven games last year when he was on pace for like 80-some touchdowns after seven games, and then you kind of were skeptical, like, oh, well, that was only seven games. And, you know, now he's injured another knee and blah, 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 right? I mean, Deshaun Watson is really freaking good. 375 passing yards in 3 of 5 games this year. He's over 300 passing yards in 4 of 5 games this year. He has thrown 5 picks, but he has 8 touchdowns as well. The guy's electric. He's a playmaker. He just makes plays. So anyways, that was a little bit of a tangent, but
Hold on.
Yeah.
Before you move on, I want to go back to Fuller and Juju for a second. Mm-hmm. I just pulled up DLF ADP, mm-hmm. and this is October, so it's pretty new. One quarterback, but Juju is 17 overall, and Will Fuller is 33 overall. You willing to pay for that?
I'm probably not willing to pay for Fuller at that. I'm willing to pay for Juju, yeah.
So you're willing to pay second round.
Here's the thing, though. I think what I'm saying about both of those guys is if there are people that are thinking more in terms of this season only, because they're 4-0 right now, 5-0, whatever, it's 5 weeks, 5-0, 4-1, right? So you start kind of switching that mentality to, okay, well, I'm going to be good this season, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the goal is to win championships, right? I mean, hopefully several in a row, but realistically, it's tough to do that. It's tough to win 1 year. So if you have a chance and you're going for it,
listen to our show and we'll make it nice and easy for you to win your championships.
Yeah, there you go.
Hashtag Brent.
That was so bad. Oh.
So yeah, but
you know the thing with Juju too is that he is 21 years old still.
Mm-hmm.
And he's younger than almost every rookie in the class this year.
Right. Sans like Sam Darnold. Like, it's crazy how young he is. And he's in his second season, and he exploded last year, and he's doing better this year. He's on pace for well over 1,000 yards. He's not doing great in the terms of the touchdown categories, but I mean, I'll take 1,006, 1,007 every day of the week. And he's 21. He doesn't turn 22 until the end of November. That's the craziest part to me, is that he's in year two and he's doing more than Amari ever did. Or I think that's one of the biggest things, is like Amari had that 1,000-yard season, his rookie season. Juju did not, but I think a lot of people believe in Juju more, and he's proving it again. And he's so young. So
yeah, his rookie deal runs out when he's like 23, like at the end of his 23-year-old season, his rookie deal runs out, which is insane.
So in terms of dynasty, I mean, a second round startup value, I mean, he's probably got a ceiling of a top five wide receiver in the league. So I think it's definitely worth that second round value right now if you're going to get him for this season, next season, possibly a third season.
Yeah, and I'd say this about Juju too. The interesting thing with him is, you know, Antonio Brown, obviously, he's one of the greatest that's played. He's unbelievable. He's super productive, all of that. But when Ben Roethlisberger is out, Antonio Brown kind of disappears, mm-hmm. right? Juju does not. In the games that he's played with Landry Jones over the last season, the games that he played with Landry Jones were some of his best games. And AB was present. It wasn't like he was sitting or injured or anything like that. I mean, he Juju with Landry Jones produced. So, you know, people that are worried about the quarterback situation there, well, when Ben leaves, what's going to happen to Juju, right? I don't think Juju's as dependent upon the quarterback as maybe some other players are. So,
seeing as how Landry Jones isn't on the team anymore, it seems like he wasn't that great in the first place to think that Juju needed the good quarterback to get him the ball.
Well, and he looked good in the preseason with Josh Dobbs too at quarterback. So, I mean, I just don't think that the quarterback matters as much for him for whatever reason. And that's a really strange dynamic. Like, what makes some guys really good regardless of quarterback play? DeAndre Hopkins, right? And then what makes guys disappear with quarterback play? That's something to look into, you know, in the future, but it's an interesting dynamic. But anyways, to get back on task a little bit, sorry, I kind of started that. So the main,
like, what task are we on anymore?
Buys, my buys, and Juju and Will Fuller. And then the other buys that I am interested in right now is the whole class of running backs from this past rookie draft. You know, these guys were guys that coming out were really being overvalued, I think, somewhat during rookie drafts. Haven't produced, so they've, you know, they're dropping below like top 40 ADP, like Geis and you know, even Chubb and Sony, who both are probably, you know, I mean, Sony's playing now and getting carries now, and Chubb has looked amazing with the three carries that he's getting per game. So
Geis is 40, Michelle is 41, Kerryon Johnson is 43, Chubb is 48.
Yeah, see, I mean, that to me, that's an opportunity to buy, because I think these are guys that all are talented players and going to get opportunity eventually. It's just that the situation over the first 5 weeks of the season here has been
frustrating for many of them. Obviously, Geis with the injury, and that's a killer. You know, but Chubb and, you know, again, Sony's playing now, but Chubb and Kerryon, I mean, he's tearing it up.
There's someone you're just leaving out every time you're talking
about. He Rojo has a low enough value.
Oh no, forget that guy. I don't care about Rojo.
Saquon Barkley.
Oh, there it was.
I mean, of course,
wasn't even really alluding to that. There's still
one
running back that you haven't talked about. His name is a monetary unit.
Penny?
I've been
consistent with that one. Sorry, Outhouse. I have not been a fan of Rashad Penny.
What are they doing?
They're,
I don't know. Great. I just cried on a podcast.
Well, so Pete Carroll, just to try to round this out and make you cry more, Pete Carroll came out and said there weren't any more opportunities for Penny I don't remember how many rushing attempts there were that game, but it was just like,
Mike Davis.
I know.
Brutal. Yeah. Well, and if you are a guy, look, I mean, Penny and Rojo were top four rookie picks in certain drafts. I saw them go as high as two, both of them. But not me, but I saw them go in leagues that I play in as high as two, both of those guys. You know, so if you're a believer in one of them, now's the time to buy if you didn't get them when you were drafted in rookie drafts. You know, but just in general, I think a lot of those rookie running backs were really overvalued coming out. I mean, Penny was as high as, I think, 34 or something at one point, and you know, some of the other guys were pushing the late 20s, early 30s as well. So, I mean, I just, you know, now they're back into the 40s, and I think that's an opportunity to get them more at fair market value as opposed to, or where they should be valued as opposed to, you know, overvalued. So, anyways.
All right. So, that's, yeah. So, your buy section was about 8 people. So,
yeah, sorry about that.
There you go. All right. So like I said, I don't have too much to contribute to really this specific week of football, but I'm going to throw one buy out there, and that is David Njoku, because I got into a fake argument on Twitter with shout out to the Lopsided Trades Best Ball Dynasty League, talking between Njoku and Evan Engram, even just for this week. And all I kept doing was arguing how good Njoku is, especially now with Baker back there. And all it made me do was want to go buy Njoku everywhere. It was 7 and 11 targets the last two games since Baker has started. I think the game with 11 targets, he only converted 6, I think it was 6 for 69. But even still, that's technically over 50% and 11 targets. And it seems like that's sustainable. So I want that everywhere that it actually makes sense to own a tight end. And I guess tight end premium or two tight end leagues. Like, I'd be going after him pretty hard. I got a tweet of a trade from @JoeStew_FF, where he traded Big Ben for David Njoku. He gave me no league details, but I'm going to guess this is a one quarterback league. Even if this is a two quarterback league, I think this is something I would do. Ben is one of those every year I'm going to retire guys. And I mean, this year he's seemed to be pretty consistently good, but you can't count on him every game. So if this is a tight end premium, even in a super flex league, I feel like I would be good doing this. If this is a one quarterback league, I'd do that in a heartbeat. How do you guys feel about Njoku?
So Derek Brown on Twitter, @dbro_ffb, put something out a few days ago. I can't remember exactly when, but basically it was looking at Njoku and telling people to buy, and then his target share with Baker has been 19% over the last two games. With every other Browns quarterback, it was 11%.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's right, is that Njoku just needed that change of quarterback. He needed a better quarterback.
And Baker does like his tight ends.
Right. I mean, we know that with Mark Andrews. So he's definitely, and I'm going to just add the entire Browns passing attack is actually a bye right now. Cause their schedule looks like this. So they have Los Angeles Chargers. They have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have the Kansas City Chiefs. And then they have the Atlanta Falcons in the next.
Wow. Shootout City.
Right. Before their bye. So you're talking about five teams that are susceptible to the pass game. So really you should be buying all of the Browns passing attack, but that's beyond the point. Yes. Njoku, I thought was the best tight end coming out of the class last season. Just in terms, he's a physical freak. He can catch the ball. He's probably, I view Evan Engram as more of a wide receiver type, whereas mm-hmm. Njoku is like a Gronkowski, faster Gronkowski type. He's just a monster of a man. So once he, and he's only been playing tight end for a short period of time. So once he figures out this position, I think he's going to be a top five tight end for years to come.
Those Miami tight ends. All right.
You remind me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
You're going to have to redo that one.
No, I'm leaving this in. Talk.
I was just going to say Vernon. He reminds me of Vernon Davis too. He's a freak. Yeah. He's an athletic freak. He's super, you know, he's huge. But he's like, he has like no body fat and wrecks guys and is super fast. And yeah,
he just needs that sweet mohawk.
Yeah.
And we need to keep him away from motorcycles a la Kellen Winslow.
Yes. Yes.
Can I move on to the next segment now, Brian?
Move along.
All right, so that was our keep trades and buys, and now we're going to jump into our one and only Trade Addicts trade.
One and only?
Yeah, there's only one Trade Addicts trade. Give me the Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts trades.
Dude, remember that next time.
I apologize.
You have very few jobs.
I'm not very good at the ones that I do have, so.
Clearly.
You're now the soundboard for the podcast, is that what I'm hearing?
We have to start a Patreon or something. We're pretty low budget. All right. So Trade Addicts 3, Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Super Flex, PPR, Tight End Premium. We have Matt Breda, Alex Collins, Randall Cobb, and Jared Cook. You might need to write this one down. For Brandon Cooks, Richie James, and Jakeem Grant. It is worthwhile to say we get some returns points. So since this is one of mine, actually, I'm going to have a little fun with this first. Stoops was a little behind on his game. So I went on the Trade Addicts pod account and tweeted out the trade. And then Stoops felt like doing his job and didn't realize I did also. So he tweeted it out again. So there's two tweets out for this trade.
Damn it, Stoops, get your shit together.
Stuff. Get your stuff together. Stuff.
Oh, my God. Did I just get bleeped?
Bleep. I'm far too lazy for that. Hopefully, nobody cares. So there are two polls for this tweet out. Both of them are 53% to 47%. Wow. Guess why it's hilarious?
They're the opposite.
They're switched.
Yep. In one tweet, the Cook side is winning. In the other tweet, the Cook's side is winning. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the definition of a fair trade. So, whatever. One of you guys, well, Brian's lounging back with his hands behind his head. So, I guess, Stompy, you let me know how you feel about the value in this trade.
I view it as one's a win now and one's a future. Jared Cook's not going to be, I mean, even in tight end premium, Jared Cook's not going to be around for very much longer. I don't really know how to feel about Breda for future stuff. He's definitely a good player this season. Collins, I'm going down with the ship on Collins.
Yeah.
And then Cobb, I mean,
his ship's already gone down.
Yeah, like he's already sinking. I like the Cook side more, especially now that I know that you guys get return yardage.
Yeah. All right. So I'm just going to jump in and talk anyway. Jakeem Grant has actually scored very close to or over double digits every week in our league. So he's a nice bye week flex throw in. This was because the reason I wanted to jump in was because I mentioned before when we were talking before we started recording about people putting people on blast in group chats about trade offers. This one actually. So this is between me and Dustin at Dynasty Junkie FF. And his original offer to me was the exact same. I traded for Brandon Cooks. We'll get that out there. He offered me Brandon Cooks and Marlon Mack for Breda, Collins, Cobb, and Cook. So I said, okay, I sent you a small counter offer, small change. And I changed Marlon Mack to Tyler Boyd. And he went straight into the group and he's like, that ain't no small change. And of course, I thought it was hilarious. And I went right through it. I went with it, even though I do think that is a small change because I don't think Tyler Boyd's an 11 catch for 140 yards and two touchdowns guy. But regardless of what you think the difference between Marlon Mack and Tyler Boyd is, I thought it was hilarious. And Brian hates it when people do that.
I hate it. I absolutely hate that. That is one of my biggest pet peeves is when people go public with offers that don't involve anybody else other than myself and them. I just don't understand the point in that at all. I really don't. And to me, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'll never work with somebody again or I'll never, I won't make a trade with that person or whatever. But it makes me not want to. So, I mean, will I hurt my team long term if I don't work with a certain owner? Probably, eventually. But I'm probably going to be more or less likely to send deals. I'll listen to offers. I always do. But it's going to hinder that relationship. And, we've talked on the show before about relationships in leagues, just in terms of for trading purposes and whatnot. And I just, to me, when you're in negotiations with somebody, it's different if you are in negotiations with two owners and you're like, well, listen, I got a little bit better of an offer right now, or I got somebody's offering me this player and this player or whatever. It's another thing. If you get an offer that you think is subpar, for you to put that in the league chat, I don't even know what to say about it other than it just pisses me off and I think it's stupid and people shouldn't do it. That's just me. I know, there's a particular league that I'm in where that happened several different times in a row and it became a big joke and people were like, you can put all my trade offers out and all that stuff, and that's fine. I mean, people play this game differently, but for me, I just think that's bush league. So anyways, that was a rant.
That was a wonderful tangent. Yes. All right, so why don't you just keep talking and let us know how you feel about the trade?
Yeah, I mean, I voted for the Brandon Cooks side in this one, but I think it's real close. Cooks is by far the best piece in this deal by a large margin. I think if Alex Collins, it's the deal for me turns on Alex Collins, because I think if Alex Collins was living up to his, what people thought he was going to do, and wasn't getting his work, load and everything jumped into by Buck freaking Allen, then this might swing that way. But I mean, Collins, it hasn't been real pretty so far for him in Baltimore with Allen's workload and everything. And then, Breda's banged up all the time. He's good. He produces when he's on the field, but he's always banged up. Cobb's been banged up this year. And of course, Cook is having a career year. And in tight end premium, that's pretty valuable. So, but for me, I think long term, I would rather own Brandon Cooks on my team than any of those four. And maybe even all four put together. So that's what it comes down to for me. But I don't think the deal is bad by any means for the other side here. But yeah, I prefer the Cooks side. Brandon side.
We'll take a little trip down Narrative Street. I know Dustin's not here to actually talk about his side, but we talked about it, so I can really give both views on this one. He is either 5-0 or 4-1, I believe, and he didn't think he had that good of a team in the first place. So he is very win now, and he needed multiple pieces because he has like two or three baller running backs and not much else. So he wanted to spread his team out a bit. He wanted multiple people who could score high. And again, in our tight end premium, Jared Cook is, if not now, was the tight end one. So it seems like a good move for him. And I am 1-4, even though I like my team. And I'm not ready to give up, but this is by no means me giving up on the year. I just wanted to make a splash because I know Cooks is the kind of guy that can give you 40 points in a random game. And maybe that kind of is what pushes my team over the edge. And maybe Mike McCoy getting fired and David Johnson actually getting some play would help my team win also. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, that league, Trade Addicts 3 is strange. You're 1-4 and I'm 2-3. And I think both of our teams are better than their records show.
That just shows not to give up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And there's a lot of good teams in that league. Just across the board, I think. So anyway, yeah.
I think next episode, we're going to talk a little bit about evaluating your team and either making a push for the championships or starting to rebuild. That sounds like something good. Brian brought that up a little bit, and every once in a while, he has a good idea.
Every once in a while. As long as it doesn't involve math. If it involves math, it's not a good idea if it's coming from me. So analytical websites that can explain things in like English and not math. Yeah, buddy.
Pimp it out, Stompy. Go.
Speaking of, nice segue. SportsSabermetrics.net, the start sit app, uses colors.
Ooh.
Yes.
So green is good, red is bad.
Awesome. I learned that in like kindergarten, so I could really get the hang of that.
But seriously, I mean, check it out. Again, that code is Trade Addicts with a capital T, capital A. You guys get 15% off. And then I will be tweeting out when the episode comes out, I'll tweet out a contest, I suppose, that will get somebody a random or whomever wins the contest a free season on sportsabermetrics.net, the premium app. So yeah, definitely give it a check it out. We really would love your support. I think we're doing a really good job. Obviously I'm a little bit biased, but I've actually used it to win some money in DFS to help set some of my lineups. So it's actually a really, really cool app. Matt Spencer is doing a really good job of developing that website. So yeah, check it out. Let us know if we can add anything. Let us know if we can change anything. And hopefully you guys will enjoy it.
Rocking. All right. So before we start shutting down for the night, because it's getting past my bedtime, I'm going to continue on Brian's rant about relationships in trading and fantasy football leagues. I don't care about being called out on bad trade offers. Funny story, I went to DM someone and accidentally put an offer out in the actual main chat, and we proceeded to negotiate the trade in the main chat with everyone else putting their input in. Like, that's how much I care about privacy and trade talks. But there's a level that makes that okay. First of all, having the relationship, it was Trade Addicts 3. And like we always say, that is a randomly thrown together group of guys that, I don't know, like lucky is a word to say, like that is a great group of people that are all very good at what they do with fantasy football and are all just all right, Trader Joe's a bit of a jerk, but everyone else is just a really nice guy. No, just go follow at FF Trader Joe. He's on Twitter, so you should follow him. But let's pretend you join a league and there's a group chat, which there should be for every league. Don't be the guy that you're allowed to be boisterous. You're allowed to be a jerk. Let's even put it out there because that's part of the fun. Like every league needs a heel, kind of like in wrestling, there's always a bad guy that makes things more enjoyable. But it's not even that you're taking it too far. It's that don't take it into the personal DMs also, and even into the trade offers. I sent a trade out 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the dude just apparently hated it. And to be fair, it wasn't the perfect trade offer. Like I always say, my first trades usually will slant towards me a bit. But dude talked about it. Again, I don't care. He brought it out in the main chat saying I sent him a bad offer, which I will always fess up to, even though this time wasn't that bad of an offer. So a few weeks goes by. He sends me an offer for that same player I was trying to trade away. And it was the definition of a trash offer. Hashtag trash Dynasty Trades offers. Trade offer to steal from Dynasty Trades HQ. Thank you, Shane. Yeah, it was awful. So I, of course, reject. And in my comments, I put about 17 trash emojis because I needed to drive my point across. So he replies in his email. I wanted to, that wasn't a real offer. I wanted to see how you felt about, it was Dalvin Cook, I'll just say it. I wanted to see how you felt about Dalvin Cook, and I wanted to see if you would sell him to me cheap. Okay, let's start with the real issues of why I'm ranting about all of this. First of all, don't be that guy. Don't send a crap offer to be like, I just wanted to see how you felt about this. And then don't follow that up with, I wanted to see if you'd sell him to me cheap. If I was going to sell him to you cheap, it sure as heck ain't happening now. And I just said, heck. Wow, Brian, you are just a terrible influence on me.
This is funny. All right. This is funny.
So, okay. I'm completely lost. I don't even know what's going on in my life anymore. But, all right. This is all about relationships. And you could be a jerk to me all you want as long as it's in good fun, because that's what this game is, a game about a game about a game about a game. And I mean, yeah, I know money's behind it, but it's never that, well, okay, some people play in leagues where there's that much money behind it, but at least the leagues I'm in, it's not that much money where you need to, if your answer is winning is fun, then we shouldn't be in a league together, because that's not really what I go for. That's not why I play this game. But there's an etiquette to trading that should be followed. And that is, if you go out and you say, I want to know how you feel about this guy, be ready to send an offer. When I say, no, I think that's his value. I think he's at the right value now. Be like, all right, what do you think of this? Don't keep pushing for the other person to send an offer. That's not the right way to do it. And it'll make them not want to give you an offer, because like Brian said before, you don't blackball people, but you'll be hesitant about it in the future. I'll look for other people before I look for you. It's just the honest truth. This is a game of fun. Brand of Trade Addicts podcast. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. I hate getting those. That's right. I mean, don't you ever get those through MFL where you get they ask for Dalvin Cook and don't put anything on their side? Like they just send it blank. It's like,
I would have preferred blank on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's brutal.
I guess for me on that is just like, what's the point of embarrassing somebody? Like, I don't think anybody out there, I mean, likes to be embarrassed, whether you're going to say, oh, I don't care if you put that trade out or not, but you're trying to, the point of that is you're trying to embarrass somebody.
Right.
Again, no point. Don't be a dick. All right. Well, I feel a little better now. Got to be honest. Been holding that in all day. That all happened this morning. But that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. Funny story. I think it was even yesterday or the day before. Stompy just DMs me, "Hey, put me on your podcast." Okay. So it was awesome. I'm glad that happened. It's always nice to have Stompy on.
I miss talking to you guys.
Yeah, he's our fantasy football BFF. So it's awesome to have him on. And yeah, it was a good show. I think I do say that way every single show, except for last show. It was just okay last show.
Mediocre.
Yeah, you can't win them all. You have some okay ones to appreciate the great ones. And I think this was one of the great ones. So on that note, at FF Stompy, follow him because you should. He's awesome. Smile for us. There it is. You guys can't see that, but I can.
I love you guys. You're my favies.
Favies. Yes.
I'm gonna put that kiss in my pocket for later.
Ooh.
You bet.
Bye, Brian.
Later, Outhouse.
Bye, Stompy.
Bye, boys.
See you, Stomp.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.